And good afternoon, everybody. My name is Zeke. I'm here with Bettina and with Jen, and we are a Movement Museum where we talk about dance on your radio, on your computers, on your mobile devices. And yeah, we have a new URL.
Hey,
it's nicely done. Movementmuseum.com. Much easier to remember than the old one. And if I can banish the word dash from my vocabulary for the rest of my life, I'd be very happy. It's 2:06. You're listening to us on CKUT 90.3 FM, 91.7 on your cable dial, or movementmuseum.com.
Ooh, and, that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm very pleased with that. And I got a poem to start. It's a short poem. It's by Robert Lowell, and it's called Poet to a Ballerina. My verses cannot comment on your immortal moment or tell you what you mean. Only Balanchine has the rager's... Let me start that again. My verses cannot comment on your immortal moment or tell you what you mean. Only Balanchine has the razor edge and knows that art of language.
Succinct?
Yes. Oh, short, nice.
Short and sweet.
Short, mm-hmm. Sweet, and to the point, yes. So how are you guys doing?
All righty. I'm very much over winter.
I think this is its last gasp.
Oh, I hope so.
No, it's never... It always makes you think it's the last one, but... No way. But today is really beautiful. Like, I was expecting today to be gray and gross, but waking up and having the opposite, sunny and warmer, is nice.
I agree entirely. It's although I've been spending most of my time today in basements without windows. Not good. But yeah, we have a whole whack of shows to talk about.
Oh, I mean, a lot.
We've been seeing a bunch of stuff. Who wants to go first?
What have we all seen? I made a list.
Do you want to start with the Infraction? Because that was, I think, the longest time.
Yeah, I mean,
ago.
I saw Common Space, but we had a little, we had a little review and rundown with mm-hmm. Amy. But maybe I'll just say like a couple words about it. I mean, mm-hmm. it was a really great show. It was put together. It had a lot of variation. You know, for me, I felt like it was watching... You know, like a Concordia dance show, and actually a lot of the choreographers were from Concordia, but that type of variation where you have very different levels of choreographic compositional skills, very different aesthetics, and some pieces that were more clear in their vision and what they were conveying than others. I think I would have to say that let me just give props to some of the pieces that really stuck out in the Common Space performances. Let's see here. You see, at Altitude, choreographer Emily LeBlanc. That was actually one of the most clear pieces in terms of the artistic vision that was being portrayed. There was I think it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 dancers, mm-hmm. you know, and in comparison, one of the reasons why I felt this piece was strong in comparison to other ones was that it really worked the dancers. I felt like it needed precision, it needed clear timing, and the performers really had to be working together. Mm-hmm. And there was use of text, and it actually worked because, you know, sometimes when you're integrating text and you know, dancers acting, it doesn't necessarily work. It really worked. And so it was clear from beginning to end what the choreographer was trying to do, and I felt that the piece was strong for that reason. And I'll give props to that one. But there's like, I think, 8 other pieces, so I'm not going to review it all. But anyways, Common Space was a really good show. It was great. It had something for everyone, for sure.
But when you said it was varied, you also felt it was varied in terms of quality?
Yeah, I mean, in the quality, I guess it's the clarity of the work. You know, some things you're watching and you're just like, I don't understand what's going on. You know, and as a contemporary choreographer, you know, I had my phase of hating when people said, I don't understand it. But it's true. Sometimes when you go to a show and what's being, you know, conveyed is not clear, what they're trying to do does not come across, you don't get it. You are trying to figure out, as opposed to, I don't know, being in the chair and just experiencing what's happening and taking in whatever is happening on stage. So, you know, some things, they weren't as clear. And the execution of it, you know, they're emerging performers and choreographers, and that for sure was apparent. Mm. You know, the performance skill level is apparent. Like, they're novice.
Right.
So, that's how I felt.
Okay.
Anything else? Any other questions?
Well, what kind of dance? Was it all contemporary dance, or were there lots of different influences?
I would say that most of it came from the contemporary approach. The last piece, which we had David Albert Toth and Emily Gaultieri, that was on the show about three weeks ago?
Yeah, about a month ago.
Yeah. David Albert Toth was one of the choreographers, and he was also one of the performers, along with Milan Panier-Guignon. Mm-hmm. And the piece was like that fusion of urban, you know, breakdance style with contemporary.
Okay.
So that was nice. It was effective because of the physicality of it. Mm-hmm. It was. I always love watching male dancers, strong male dancers on stage, because they just have that power.
Mm.
So that was, you know, I felt like that was effective in terms of just the physical engagement of the performers, because like I said, some of the other pieces, not in the same way, the precision and the execution and the stage presence wasn't as high.
Right.
But again, considering the context of the show and the level of the artists involved in the show, you know, then you have to consider that. So yeah, this is Common Space. Good show at Mainline. Several weeks ago.
And Infractions.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Infractions.
Okay, first, when and where?
So Infractions ran at Studio 303, and I think I saw January 15th or 16th. It ran on both days. And the choreographer was Gabrielle Martin. It was her first time choreographing?
Designing a dance.
Yes.
I think it was her first full-length show.
It's what I heard her say.
Yeah.
And I thought it was well done. It was concise. It was six small, short dance pieces, all very fast-paced, all very physical, minimalist stage with just like one or two focus props, which normally were like pieces of light, like these horizontal neons that work really well, and or just a chalk line drawn on the floor, or later on the piece that I really liked, which was the three rolls of massive cling film floating from the ceiling to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so very simple devices, and I thought that was nice. They didn't try to bite off more than they could chew, and it communicated well.
I think, the show, like Bettina was saying, had these six short pieces that were all... She was exploring this idea of resistance and dependency.
Mm.
And so it was very... That the concept being explored was very clearly presented, definitely, the idea of dependency and resistance, as she explains here in the program. And like the first piece has actually been a work that I know she's been working on over the last 2 years.
Oh,
and it was actually made into a dance film that was in a contest actually for I can't remember it's a big presenter in London. But anyways, it was in the contest and it actually did really well, and it like had this white marley white squared piece of marley on the floor, and the performers would enter into the marley. So the lighting was really simple, and then they would run and they would do some, you know, movement, some phrases, and they would run off. And that piece is actually with the lights. They had like this big installation of
the fluorescent lights. Yes, that pulsating.
That was really interesting visually, though. I thought what didn't work for the first piece in box, and it wasn't the choreographer's you know, nothing that she could do. It was really just the space. Because I've seen this piece before, and for a piece where these two performers have to run off and onto this square box.
Yes.
It was actually really, really challenging for them to do that. And I can see that it's hard to like run at full speed and stop in a very precise location and then run off.
Mm.
So I could see that in the performers' bodies, it was hard for them to pick up that speed and hard for them to have that precision. So anyways, I think that in some ways the space limited the potential of that piece and the power of it.
It may have needed a larger stage.
Mm-hmm. It definitely would have been better on a larger stage. And I loved the fluorescent light. It really gave it that intense feeling for the audience, though. Mm. Again, with the space, I feel like for lights with that intensity, it was a bit too bright sometimes, that it was just like, right, yeah, into the eyes. Did you feel that way?
Yes, but I didn't mind it. Mm. I felt that it went well with the dance piece. It had that aggressive energy and that sort of, you know, something that made you sat down and right away you were assaulted with people running and the loud pulsating music and flashing lights, and you know, you got your heart racing, and there was no easy overture. I really enjoyed that. Mm. And put you on edge right away.
I like that word that you used, the assault, because it did give it that effect. It was really like boom, right in your face.
Yeah And it was followed by a more down tempo piece. Mm-hmm. So I thought the pacing was quite good.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I feel that her aesthetic, I really liked it. It's very clean. Mm-hmm. Very sleek, you know. The costumes were very simple.
Yes,
but they still had this, like, it still, not fragile, that's not the right word, but it was soft.
It had a nice materiality,
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, it felt, you know, because...
Deliberate. It was deliberate. It didn't feel like we're dressing down because we're poor. It was, mm-hmm, we have a limited color palette, mm-hmm, and then we just let textures speak and enhance, yeah, the whatever we want to communicate.
Yeah. I think, though, the one thing that I felt the choreographer could have paid more attention to was the transitions between the pieces, because there were six pieces and they were all probably about, you know, 5 minutes.
Mm.
What I found really didn't work was that every time one piece would end and the lights go out, immediately you would hear...
Oh, yes, of course.
And I felt it was so distracting because all the pieces had carried this kind of mood and this feeling.
Mm.
And it was like this suspension. And then as soon as the lights went off, the audience didn't get the time to just be like, okay, absorb what had just happened, because immediately it was interrupted by like the tech, you know, trying to get next piece set up.
That's right, because so, it was a big change in mm-hmm, background each time.
Yeah, it was.
It was. They had fairly elaborate setups with the lights being rolled in and out, and
yeah. So in general, like it was, you know, it was a good piece. There were some things that needed more attention, like that, for example.
Yeah, but you know, you're in Studio 303. You're not, mm-hmm, at Place des Arts. I mean, when you sit down on one of those little folding chairs, you know that, you know, there's going to be some rough edges. And
yeah.
I just took that time to stand back and sort of dissociate myself from the space for that moment, and then sort of re-engaged when I felt that they were ready with the setup. Mm-hmm. What did you think about the rope piece?
The last one?
Was
where
it the
she
last
was
one?
Hanging?
Yeah, that was... I really thought it was very cool.
It was visually really beautiful. It had this, like... it kind of just drew you in, and it was dreamy, and it was slow, and she would morph. And so visually, again, it was beautiful. Like, even the dress she was wearing. Like, I think Gabrielle has a really good eye,
mm-hmm,
for the aesthetic of how she wants things. So I thought, you know, I thought it was beautiful, but it... Like some of the pieces, I also felt that it didn't develop enough. It kind of... But for a piece like that, maybe that was her sole intention, was just that very simple spinning and slow evolution of her movements and her body's changing. I guess for people who didn't see the show,
yes,
you know, she actually comes from a background of silk.
Mm-hmm.
So she had these ropes suspended, actually, right in the center stage, but right... basically right in front of the audience. She was hanging in it, wearing this like kind of silk loose dress that was like a peach color, and she was just spinning constantly for, like, I don't know if the piece was about 5, 6, 7 minutes, constantly spinning and spinning, and her body would just slowly, you know, move throughout and change positions, and then every now and then a dancer would just walk by simply and then kind of touch her a bit to keep the momentum of the spin. So yeah.
I really like the way she played with gravity, and also how she influenced the spin by stretching herself out and mm-hmm. slowing down the movement of the spin, and then sort of balling back up again, and then she would spin faster.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was a nice extension from what dancers do on the stage, where you also move in space, but you're held down by your feet to the ground, and there she was sort of lifted up, and she could explore movements that you normally can't.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have times where you're like, whoa, you know, when she would move? Because sometimes I felt like, oh my gosh, just just that feeling of like, is she going to still hang in there?
Sometimes she really let herself drop and she was like just inches off the floor and says, is that deliberate?
Yeah, you're just like, oh my gosh.
And then she would go back up and it's all part of the plan.
Yeah. But yeah, in general though, like all the pieces were very different. Everything that she presented visually was different and very interesting for the eye.
Yeah, there was no filler. I didn't feel that there was any padding or repetition or sort of stuff that she felt that, oh, you know, we need to add a minute or here or there. It was trim and that I enjoyed.
Okay, so that was Infractions.
Okay, what's next?
How about you, Zeke? What did you see?
A lot of stuff. They're talking about sort of like high-tech stuff, I saw True.
Ooh, so did I.
And that's, by High Wood and Dumb Type. It was at Using Say on the 27th and 29th of January. And to me, there were two great moments that were in total maybe about 10 minutes. Unfortunately, the entire show was 70 minutes long. But quick synopsis. You got two guys on stage, mostly at the beginning, one guy moving very, very slowly, playing with objects and stuff that's on a table. There are two scaffolds hanging out left stage, right, a desk on in the back. After playing around with various objects, sort of miming or lip dubbing to industrial soundtrack, which in itself is not half bad. This other guy walks out on stage in a red raincoat, shiny red raincoat. And they do some more miming, lip dubbing to the industrial soundtrack. And then moment number one. Because of the spotlights that they have, which are these new, relatively new LED spotlights, and they're on a circular rack, track, whatever you call it, that's up top. And so it's a sort of thing where they can change the color, they can change the speed, and they can make them do all sorts of stuff that you normally can't do with your old style spotlights. And in this case, they turned it into a strobe effect that was changing color probably, I don't know,
wow,
you can hit that like that. And they were throwing the red raincoat up in the air. And because the lights were changing color, the raincoat changed color. And so while it was falling, it would go from brown to red to black to gray to red again to all sorts of things. I said, whoa, that's pretty damn cool. Then they started doing some moving around, lip dubbing to the industrial soundtrack, playing with objects. It was one nice thing where something happened and half the desk sort of fell apart. But that's just a loud boom that sort of surprises the heck out of you. Then they went back to the circular LED lights. And there, this is going to be interesting. I've explained this to friends in person, but it's going to be difficult on the radio because I end up using my hands. But imagine, if you will, you have a dancer that is spinning counterclockwise. You then, because the lights are circular, the lights are spinning clockwise. Okay, and so you have a revolving spotlight, which then means that the shadow the dancer casts is going in the opposite direction of the dancer.
Nice.
And you suddenly say, whoa, and I want to get myself some of those spotlights. And then on top of it, briefly, they got so that the dancer was actually throwing off three shadows, one yellow, one red, one blue, and trying to figure out, okay, so the math behind that, you figure out, okay, that's the color that's got to be going at him at that direction. That's the color that's got to be going at him at that direction. And so, yeah, those two were the eye-opening, mind-expanding, jaw-dropping moments, but it was about 60 minutes too long.
And also the mind-bending moments were more about the lighting technician and not so much about the dance.
There obviously was Dumb Type and High Wood who had figured that out, and so it was because it's all like basically automated. I imagine you hit a button, and at which point it goes into that. It's very computer-esque,
right?
And so I don't know. Maybe the lighting technician did come up with it, but to me, it sounds like it's more like they did it.
Okay.
Would you think?
I actually agree with Zeke. I was really looking forward to this show because I've seen some of their videos on YouTube actually a long time ago. And just due to the technology and with the lights and the sound, it just sounded super interesting, you know, like this company from Japan. But I agree with Zeke. There was about two moments for me too where I felt like the show really worked. And I was like, whoa, shiz. the rest of it, it just didn't work. I felt like it was one of those shows where you have this amazing technology, because the lights were one of the key highlights, like that bright red snow rain jacket. Mm-hmm. It totally changed colors. Mm. Totally changed colors when they were like flashing. And the shadow dance, which for those who didn't get to see the show, you can look it up on YouTube and watch some of the videos.
Do they have it on YouTube?
They have the shadow dance. Okay. True Japan shadow dance. That was amazing.
We can put a link up on the blog.
Mm-hmm. That was really amazing, because it just, for me, my experience of it was that when I was watching it, it felt like they were playing with my perception of time. But with the way the strobe was flashing and the way that the shadows would change, it just like this feeling that time would either like speeding up really quickly and just changing. So just the feeling of experiencing that, it was really interesting. But, you know, I felt, and the young Japanese dancer, he was actually a really amazing mover. When he moved, he was very fluid, very liquid, and just very versatile and open in his body. But unfortunately, he didn't dance that much. No. And they didn't dance that much. And so...
Yeah, it was more to me mime.
Mm-hmm. There was just a lot of pedestrian actions and miming. And the thing was, I didn't feel he was very strong. So it really didn't work for the piece. Mm-hmm. He was better when he was dancing. And actually, even in the shadow dance, with the old man and the young dancer, when they were dancing together, you know, it was really... It was really great, but they just didn't dance that much. They did a lot of, you know, walking around and playing with objects.
What kind of objects?
They had, did they have a toy guitar? Or was that an air guitar?
That was an air guitar that he did, but they had it's the standard issue sort of desks objects. They had a framed picture of somebody. There was a globe, which, yeah, they had, as far as the lighting technician, that was the thing where they had one spot that then was on the globe, and so it looked cool. They had, a model of a Concorde that went whoosh and so on. There were, the main objects for the second. The last two-thirds of the thing were, because the part of the desk fell out and they were just sort of like these large circular wooden blocks. They were, like spools that they then played around with and rolled around on stage.
I don't know if we made it clear, but the point of the objects is that there are sensors. And so when they move the object, it would create a sound. I don't know if we'd mention that.
That was me. I was referencing it as sort of like lip dubbing.
Lip dubbing.
You pick up a thing and then suddenly like the sound. And it whether it's the object making it or him moving the object in time to the sound.
Okay.
So besides the fact that a lot of it, I felt like they were trying to do something as opposed to having found something that could be integrated, you know, with the performers, with the technology of the light and sound, you know, I felt like they were just trying to do things the whole time and it just never really worked. But I had this thought, you know, after, I thought, you know, it was like watching a movie with a lot of digital effects, but on stage. And I was like, it'd be so cool if someone had used that technology to create some kind of dance work that was like, you know, based on some kind of sci-fi concept or something like that. Because for me, it felt like, you know, watching this movie where you had all these crazy digital effects, but it was like live right in front of you. So anyways, for anyone out there, you should do that with this technology if you have the money.
But it's actually not that expensive.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, no, those spotlights are dirt. I see them everywhere now. Okay. So obviously they're not expensive at all. And you can control the lights with, if you want to spend $50, you get this thing called an Arduino, and that's going to control it all, and it's easy as pie to program, and it's just a matter of time to learn that sort of thing, in the same way that, yes, if you've only driven a standard car that has standard, and suddenly you get a stick shift, an automatic versus standard. I show that I don't have a driver's license. If you've only driven automatic and suddenly you get a car with a stick shift, then you got to learn, but you can still make the car move. Same thing with this sort of stuff. It is almost as easy as falling out of bed.
Mm. Did you feel the same way with some of their choices? Just kind of questioning, like, why are they doing that?
It just, to me, was blah.
Those
two moments with the raincoat and the shadow dance, absolutely wonderful. I'm very glad I got to see that. But I wasted a whole lot of other time. We should get on to something else, because we do have to
a
pick,
lot. Yeah.
Yeah, we have to pick up the pace here.
Okay.
Ballet Jazz Montréal?
Ballet Jazz Montréal.
Yeah, let's do that one a little later. I have to go. So I made so many notes.
Okay.
I'm going to, you know, read through them again during the commercial break.
No problem.
But it was awesome.
I'm not so certain. Icône à vendre.
Icône à vendre.
That was Yemena only at SAT?
Yeah, that's been a few weeks, and I've seen so many shows since.
Okay, there it's... Do you want me to give the synopsis?
Yeah, you give the synopsis, and I'll fill it in if I feel like there's things that are okay. Pertinent.
To me, that... Sorry, Manon, but it wasn't pertinent. There was a lot of loud noise. I'm very, very happy that I actually carry around with me a bunch of stuff in my bag, but one of the things that I do carry around as standard operating practice is earplugs. And so as I walked into SAT, I suddenly realized, oh, this looks like it's likely going to be loud. So I asked the sound technician, how loud does it get? He said 95 decibels. And I said, thank you very much. And then promptly proceeded to stuff some styrofoam thingies in my ear, which did wonderfully because I saw a lot of people out there holding their ears. And just imagine, why does any sort of performer or any sort of artist want to put their audience through pain? But yeah, basically it was icons, religious icons for sale. And it was three women who were sort of spastically jumping around, sometimes engaged in sort of, trance, like maybe voguing or something like that, i.e. they'd catch a pose and stick with it and so on. But none of that really sort of rocked my boat at all. There was backdrop of various things about them being for sale and so on. And I think the most riveting thing, and that's just because I have a Y chromosome, is that there was one of the dancers kept pulling down her top and baring her breasts. And at which point, if that's the sort of thing which is the only way you can get people to pay attention on stage, I don't think that's an awful lot. But no, I was not happy with it at all.
Oh, well, that was more, I feel like that was more of a, you know, more of how you felt about the show as opposed to what happened in the show.
It's as I put it, it's the sort of thing where they were trying to do various religious icons, putting them up for sale and so on. And as I put in my notes, this is the 21st century. This is not shocking anymore. If it was like the 1940s or the 1890s, yes, behavior like that and trying to make that comment about the church and religion and so on. But nah, it's, you have the Pope who's apologizing for molesting boys 50 years ago. It's not cutting edge in any way, shape or form. And yeah. Nod.
Okay. Anyways, yeah, so what does Jen Doan think?
You obviously are not so harsh on it.
No, I'm not as harsh on it. I actually felt that the show, I really took a lot from the show. I thought that it was really done, well done on my part. Let's start. I mean, there were just so many elements. And if we go over again, because we have so many shows to cover, then just tell me. The music for sure was really abrasive. I'm not an expert in electronic music, so some people have very specific, you know, genres and names for it. I felt like it was really heavy techno music that was really bassy. There was a constant bass that was happening the whole time.
That was what clued me in to put in my earplugs, because as you walk in, that's going boom, 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 and it's not so much you can hear it, you can feel it. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying if they're scattered so loud that you can feel it, then at which point, yeah, I want to save my ears here.
Yeah, so there were points where I was like, oh my gosh, like I felt like I wanted release from like that feeling of, but then there was also this very operatic singing that would be laced with it. So that created a really interesting juxtaposition. And I feel like if she didn't have that, it would have been like so abrasive. But because she had some of that operaticness, it helped to pad it a bit. But in general, in terms of effectiveness or not, I actually feel that the music choice that she made worked for what she was doing with the content, like with what she was doing with the dancers and her concept, or, you know, and so I felt that it worked. And
but there, it's in terms of the content, what is it about the content, the dance and the movement and stuff like that, that sort of rocked your boat?
I think
made you happy.
It didn't make me happy.
Okay. No, that you enjoyed and appreciated it as opposed to my reaction.
It definitely didn't make me happy, but how I feel like it was effective was that, like, the movement in itself was very, I guess, spastic could be the word. Like, a lot of, to be more specific, a lot of very, a lot of arches, back bends. It was just a lot of opening the chest, like this kind of movement. I know you guys can't see me, but like, you know,
and it's deep breath, inhale.
So in terms of that feeling of being stuck, of being like, you know, that feeling where there's something inside that just needs to like break open, that feeling in the movement and in what the performers were doing and the music, I felt like it gave, it worked.
Yeah, but
I don't
to me,
know, that
it,
was clear.
Yeah, no, I agree it worked, but to me it just wasn't interesting.
Well, sometimes what someone finds interesting too is not necessarily what may have worked or not, because I wouldn't say that it was it was a choice that I may have made, but I feel like for what she was doing in terms of choreographically, visually, you know, like movement orientation, it worked. Mm-hmm. But again, I totally agree with you. It was very abrasive, and there were moments where I was like, I just want to get out of here, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. The other thing too was, I felt that her choice, and I've seen another show of hers, I have to say, just again with the music and her choices, that I would have to say that it's brave for the choices that she makes, because nobody...
We can wrestle outside over
We
this.
Can make, you know, people... That is the type of music and the type of movement and the type of gestures that she presented on stage is not one that is like going to be appealing to all people. Some people may have complete aversion to it, like Zeke, right?
No, but there, okay. It's the sort of thing to me where it's not so much that she's brave by putting out stuff that, is abrasive and so on. She's trying to be shocking, not succeeding in being shocking. And it's the sort of thing that the idea she is trying to, pass forward to the audience not really that interesting. It's the sort of thing where at the end where they're playing with the arm, if she really wanted the shock, then at which point, Greg, have your dancer with a razor blade. Mm-hmm. Figure out some way so that you have the stage blood, or like it was in the 1980s with Gigi Allen. He actually would use a real razor blade on his body, and the audiences were like horrified and disgusted and would run away. But it's the sort of thing it's the sort of thing I have. Yeah, the idea is to me is a tired, shop-worn cliche. Mm. And if somebody is doing something like that, whether it's well done or not, it's like the 17th time you see the same ad on TV. It becomes less effective.
I don't agree to say.
I know. This is where you save my butt.
Yeah, I lost my thought. I didn't agree with something. You know what's funny, though, is after the show, I was like, that piece was amazing. And I was like, you know what? I have this feeling that Zeke may not have liked it. Because whenever I really like a show, Zeke really doesn't like it. And whenever he really likes a show, I really don't like it. So it's cool.
Yes,
it's good to have that, you know,
exactly.
Balance.
Exactly. Well, one thing to realize, just because I don't like it or do like it means nothing about anybody else's perception of the show.
And what I've learned, too, from like watching so many shows and even having these types of reviews with you guys and with other people, because... just to talk with other people after the show to get a sense of how they experience it, is that the experience of watching a dance show is so, so subjective. It's so subjective, you know? One thing that you can totally love and think it was effective and you're like, yeah, someone else is just be like completely the opposite. So I had to learn to be like, okay, you know, my opinion is my opinion and it's not that important.
the key thing is to go out and see the show.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, let's move on, huh?
Well, yeah, we got, let's play the ads and then come back. It's 2:39 or thereabouts. You're listening to Movement Museum, movementmuseum.com on your computer, on your mobile device, CKUT 90.3 FM on your radio and 91.7 on your cable dial. We will be back after these messages. And we have returned. What you're hearing underneath us is Masahiko Sato, Joel Legendre, and Yuji Takahashi doing Signature live at the Egg Farm. And it actually doesn't sound half bad. But yes, this is Movement Museum. My name is Zeke. I'm here with Bettina and Jen, and we're talking about dance in Montreal, and we got a lot of talking to do because we've seen a bunch of stuff. Oh, yeah, we have... Oh, and we have...
Dance history. Do you want to skip it because we have so many reviews to do?
It depends on who it is. Do I want to find out about them?
I do just like two paragraphs. Hang on. Sorry, it's winter and my voice is sort of...
That's why you're sick.
A little icy. Yeah. Okay, I found out that today in dance history, Jan Tetley was born on February 3rd, 1926, and he passed away on the 26th of January in 2007.
And who is he?
He was an American ballet and modern dancer, as well as a choreographer, who mixed ballet and modern dance to create a new way of looking at dance, and is best known for his piece Pierrot Lunaire.
That I've heard of.
Okay. So I'm just going to quickly say that what made Glenn Tetley stand out among the other choreographers was his ability to seamlessly mix ballet and modern dance. Tetley choreographed over 50 ballets for some of the world's most famous dance companies. Tetley made his choreographic premiere in 1962 with Pierrot Lunaire, which he What is it with me today in this word? Jeez. Choreographed for his newly formed chamber company. I think we leave it there.
Okay. And Jen, what do you got on the blog?
What do I got on? I don't have anything on the blog today.
Okay. So then how about we have the new URL?
We have movementmuseum.com. And that's up and running?
Yes, that's up and
running. Yes. And we also have movement-museum.blogspot.com. So that's check it out.
Much easier, movementmuseum.com. Okay. Now back to the stuff we saw. You want to do, what you want, the May Day, Junkyard Paradise, Melanie Demare stuff?
No, let's do one of your guys's. I feel like I've been talking a lot, so I want to listen for, you know, a few minutes.
Les Ballets Jazz de Montréal. They did Rossini card, Zero In On, and Zip Zam Zoom at Théâtre Maisonneuve. And I think I saw it on the 21st, which was the Friday. You saw it on the Thursday, which was the 20th.
Yes, the 20th.
Yes,
right.
Uh-huh. And so do you lead or do I lead?
Well, I would say it was very accessible.
Yes.
Easy to understand.
Yes.
Is that why?
I thought the dancing itself was good.
Well, I would say even phenomenal in some cases.
They were energetic. It was beautiful, graceful. They're excellent dancers, the lot of them. The first piece, which was very charming, the Rossini cards.
Oh, okay, you got to see it with Rossini cards at the beginning. From my time, they flipped it around.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, we got the duet first.
Oh, no, I got the Rossini cards first. And so, you know, people know Rossini they know the scores. Yes. And so it is adapted for contemporary ballet. It was made to be very charming and sort of cineatic and Fellini-like. And the only criticism that I would like to throw out there was that it was a little bit too cutesy for me. Too humorous, too many gags, playing for the audience, playing for the laughs. And that could have been held back a little bit.
I can also see this. In terms of just perception, because to me, given that I saw it last, it was a very nice in comparison.
So we have things like nice, cutesy, good.
Yeah, no. Overall, the Rossini cards was very well done. It's just in terms of with it being the lead in as the first, because it was a program of three separate dances. And with it being the lead in, I can definitely understand where Bettina is saying, yeah, it was a little bit cutesy because you have nothing to base it on. And I think the 800-pound gorilla in the room that we have to talk about is Zip, Zam, Zoom, Boom, Zim, Zip.
Yes, okay. Well, you
that's
talk
the sort
about
of,
it.
Yeah, because that's the one where she saw that afterwards.
That was the last piece for me, and I thought it was really energetic, and it was a nice piece to leave on.
Okay, because I saw it, and it was in the middle, and it was the sort of thing where what annoyed me is that video screen that they had as the backdrop, which made it almost impossible to see and pay attention to the dancers.
And also, I thought, that what was projected on the background was supposed to be that, like, this hip urban graffiti kind of thing.
Video game type of thing, yes.
And the graphics were so bad.
Yes.
It was basically like one up from Pong Tennis. Mm-hmm. It was real, like, please, like, we in Montreal, we're full of gaming companies. Mm-hmm. Just pay somebody $100.
Or conversely, it should have been, to my mind, not broadcast, projected. It should have been projected on the floor. Because then it was the sort of thing.
Yeah, but then you don't see it well. I didn't mind.
Am I there to see the video or am I there to see the dancers? It's Ballet Jazz Montréal. It's not gaming by... Oh,
you're such a purist. I didn't mind that there was a back projection. I just minded that it was so ugly.
Okay, I found that it just was totally... they drew my attention away from the dancers who are kick-ass.
Yeah.
But it's the sort of thing where if I'm looking, because it's flashing so much and just... doing things and moving around at which point I want to see the dancers, but I can't. My eye just naturally goes back that way, which is where then to get back to Rossini Cards, where Bettina saw it first, so didn't have any comparison to it. I was saying, oh, finally.
Finally something good to look at.
Exactly. Because then, yes, what did you think of the duet? Zero in on.
I thought it was okay. It didn't really communicate what it said in the press release.
Okay, I don't read press releases.
Yeah, about, you know... I thought it was good. It was sandwiched for me between the Rossini cards and that very energetic last piece. And
I quite liked it just as an opening thing. It was a 5-minute piece that was a duet. The only sort of prop that they had was the lighting thing that was then half raised and half on the stage with three lights, and they just basically moved around in very, very nice ways. The note that I have here doesn't list who is the choreographer, but Alfredo Garcia Gonzalez and Celina Casson definitely rocked my world. And that was also the sort of reason why, to me, having seen that and just realizing it is nice, pure movement for movement's sake, it's a nice way of them going through things and stuff like that. That set the bar very high, which is probably also because then I saw Zip, Zap, Zoom.
Yeah, it's not a good follow.
And no,
yeah,
that
I can see.
And so at which point it was like, and yes.
Yeah, what I did like about the very approachable and cute Rossini was that it was a very nice ensemble piece. And they had, for example, they would all sort of dress in the same oversized men's black suits with the hats, the men and the women alike, and then they were sort of undressing and dressing again, and then there was a guy who actually sort of, there was a running gag where one of the dancers would always run to the right to the edge of the stage and nearly fall off, and then in the end he actually fell off and everybody went because he actually jumped into the orchestra pit. And you know, people kind of like that.
Yes. I looked over and saw that they had this big sort of mat. There's a white X on it, so that in the dark you knew where to jump.
Yeah, and also they had this beautiful piece where they were all at the table, like one long table.
Yeah,
and they danced really well with Rossini. Rossini is very structured. He's nearly like Bach in that way, that it's very punctuated music, and their movements were really synchronized to them. They were angled and abrupt, and there were pauses. So I felt that there was a good synergy with the music, and that really worked for me.
I agree. I definitely like the Ballet Jazz de Montréal. They just shouldn't do Zip, Zam, Zoom. Okay, Jen, you're sort of nodding there.
No, I'm just nodding to your Zip, Zam, Zoom, Za, Zee, Zay.
So, Melanie de Mer now?
Melanie de Mer. So I saw her show 2 weeks ago. I think it's still running. I don't know. No, it's not still running. That's Pigeon that's running for 3 weeks. Anyways, Melanie de Mer, she presented Junkyard Paradis, and this piece was created a couple years ago, I believe, so this is just like a continuous development of it. It was being played at Agora de la Danse, and I believe there was 5 dancers, and Melanie was actually in the piece as well, but it was interesting, her role was like this watcher on stage. She had moments where she was dancing, but she was present on it, and there were times where she was just sitting there for a really long time while a lot of things were happening. But so you come into the theater, and as the audience is coming in, she did one of the the performance starts while the audience is coming in, and all the performers are setting up the stage. The stage had a lot of things on it, you know, it was like lights and clothes and props and plastic sheets, and it was just like the background was filled with things. And the whole piece was like, I would say, like vignettes of these different little pieces, different ideas, you know. And Melanie is a very political choreographer. A lot of her work is really, you know, really speaks of that. And I think it, her experience as, you know, Haitian, and when she, we had her here, you know, she was talking a lot about that and how it plays into her work. So the piece was, you know, these little sections of different ideas and different performers giving monologues or, you know, doing solos or duets and stuff. And there were just so many little pieces that I can't really go into all, it all. But in general, the piece was really aggressive, actually, in terms of, like, mood, what it presented. And I've seen her work before, so I was expecting that. And her work before, like, that I've seen really spoke to me. But I actually felt this time, like, it was a bit too aggressive at times. It was just really, like, in your face. Like, for example, one of the sections where these two dancers, they lay out this big sheet of plastic, and then one of the performers comes out, and he's got these cans of tomatoes, and he opens them up, and he starts, like, taking the tomatoes out and then, like, grabbing it and then hitting himself and, like, just smothering this red tomato sauce all over his body, and it kept building and building, and he just kept opening the tomato cans and just like really like punching himself with the tomato
like a bullet,
yeah, very strongly. And the one thing that actually I felt that she did do well, though I felt some of it was too aggressive, was too in your face, it was too like, this is what I'm trying to say, the one thing that she did do that I felt like turned that around was that it always became absurd. Like, it became so much that it turned absurd and it became funny. Mm-hmm. And so after he did that for a while, you're like, holy, whoa, like, he's just being really self-destructive. And then he just did it so much and he started adding text. And then it became funny and you were, like, laughing at him because you're like, what, this is ridiculous. So a lot of the little pieces kind of happened like that.
Do you think that was intentionally funny, or was it...
I think it was intentionally funny, yeah. Because just from reading the reaction of the audience as well, everybody just began to be like, ha ha ha, you know? What else can I say? You know what? This is the one thing that I felt was lacking from this piece, was that I left wanting to see the dancers dance more. And I think that may be a common, like a common thing that's happening, and this has come up through our discussion, is like, when is dance still dance? You know, in a show? Because now there's just so much of that, like, theater, acting, you know, text and stuff. And when the dancers did dance, it was really so engaging. Like, there was this trio where music came on, and it was like the three female dancers were dancing in unison, and they were, like, on all fours, and their movement was, like, gave off the air of almost like this disability, disjointed. And it was so beautiful. And I felt like in that little section where they were all just, they were just moving in unison to, you know, some music, I felt that it was more clear, and it gave me more of a feeling experience in watching it than it did when there was just all this text and all this pedestrian movement and all these, you know, like, actions. So that's the one thing that I really wanted to see more of, was the dancing, because there was a lot of text. There was a lot of speaking.
I so agree with you. I mean, when I saw last year the Michael Trent piece, Caban, there was no dancing at all. Mm. And after the piece, there was this discussion. And what he said was, well, you know, if you, what is dance? It's moving through space. So, you know, that's what he felt. It counts, you know, this pedestrian dancing and walking and manipulating objects. But I would like to see more expected of the human body, you know, more stretches, more pushing the boundaries of what can be done with our limbs, because for me that is more what dance is, rather than just walking around.
Yeah, I really agree, and I actually really appreciate now when I go to a show and there's a lot of dancing. I'm just like, oh yes. And I just want to say one last thing about her show, as I also felt it missed a through line. It was missing a through line, like there was these little different pieces, but it just didn't have that through line, and it was not as connected as it could be. And maybe that was intentional because of the way that she had composed all those little ideas and sections together. But that's it for Junkyard Paradis.
And Bettina, what about Pigeons International?
You want to give them 3 minutes?
Yes.
I'd
love to give them more, but all we have is 3 minutes.
I thought it was good. Of course, I was very curious of how they managed to deal with the fact that they're dancing completely in the nude. And they did it in a very interesting way, very respectful. And I felt that they were mostly posing and that all the dancing part was when they were more closed. And that is really where they talked about, you know, the relationship between man and woman. And it was very expressive. It communicated really well.
Yes, no, that it said, this one was where, to me, it's, now that you bring up the point that when they were naked, they were just posing, and when they were clothed, they were dancing, it never occurred to me. I just sort of said, okay, yeah, it was a nice fluid sort of thing. And it's to sort of, yeah, to get the nitty gritty out of the way, it's just basically a bunch of couples getting together. This is Grâce à Dieu ton corps, which is thank God your body, which probably explains an awful lot why they were getting naked and stuff like that. But then also they made things very interesting by there was two very realistic puppets that were initially, but the first time when we sat down, it was a sort of thing where I was thinking, oh, did we get this? Is this a puppet show? And I was completely riveted, and it was sort of the different connections between, because they had, it was five people on stage. I got very confused, couldn't tell if it was five or six, but then Bettina pointed out to me that one guy only manipulated puppets and didn't do any dancing or anything like that. And then the way that the couple sort of came together, and then...
Yeah, there were two couples. There was really the one main couple who I think the whole narrative was based on, who kind of got together in the beginning, and it was all very loving.
I viewed it as sort of three different representations of the sort of same iconic couple.
Right, yeah, mm-hmm. Because there was sort of infidelity and all kinds of sensuality, and they dealt with it really well. There was definitely a red thread there, and something you could follow along. Mm-hmm. And the nudity didn't feel gratuitous. No, it was part of the storytelling.
No, unlike Icon Avantre, it was part of that, yes. So it's playing still playing at the Cinquième Salle until the 19th, and then also on the 17th, we're going to have Palais de... You talk about difficulty pronouncing choreography.
Vasconcelos.
Yes, Vasconcelos, who is going to be our in-studio guest. It's almost time for us to get out of here.
It is time for us
to get out of here. Also, there's four quartets that's playing at the Agora de la Danse this weekend. Brise Glace, which is happening down at Place des Arts this weekend. They are definitely cool and interesting things. I'm actually had an interview with Deborah Dunn from Four Quartets at Agora de la Danse, and it will be able to understand it much better. Jen, Bettina, thank you very, very much. You guys make me sound and look way better than I have any right to be. My name is Zeke. This has been Movement Museum, where we talk about dance in Montreal on anything that you have that has a speaker. We will be back next week.